What are the virtues? Once a person starts out on the road to holiness, they can expect to develop as a Christian and to experience more and more of God's love as they progress along the path. But how does someone know whether they are making any progress in the spiritual life? St. Ignatius of Loyola describes the life of prayer by telling us that we will experience either consolation or desolation. He goes on to explain how we can respond to each of these phases in a way that allows us to navigate the ups and downs of the spiritual life and helps us to progress. He would say that desolation in prayer is always ultimately from the enemy of our souls, and consolation is from the Lord. So can we gauge how well we are getting on in the spiritual life by how much consolation we are experiencing in prayer? Or do we, for example, take note of how many ecstasies we are caught up in, or the number of times we levitate, or the number of dramatic miracles we perform, or the visions that are presented to us, much like the saints of old? Are these the markers of progress in the spiritual life? Well, as it turns out, the answer to that question is no. We're reminded of what St. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. The mark of our growth in the spiritual life is not to be found in whether we have that feel-good factor accompanying our prayer, or even in external signs that would seem to indicate holiness. The true sign of spiritual advancement is to be found in our growth in love. Remember when Jesus was asked by an expert in the law what the most important commandment was? Jesus' reply to that question appears in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22. He says this: "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Often when we are pursuing a life of prayer, we can become despondent because we don't see any of the signs of growth that we might expect to see if we were on the path to holiness. Perhaps we're not experiencing as much consolation in prayer as we would like and conclude that we're making no progress. Nevertheless, when we look back on our behaviours in relating to people and how they have changed over time, we realise that somehow God has been changing us and transforming us into a different kind of person. That's one of the reasons why it is good to journal about our spiritual life. In rereading our journal entries from the past, we begin to become aware that, in often unseen ways, we are being changed. We begin to see that we find resisting temptation easier. Somehow we have gained the ability to identify the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and come against them, whereas in the past we would simply have succumbed. We become cognizant of the fact that we have a newfound ability to love those round about us. We are kinder, we serve more, we have more empathy with the struggles of our neighbour. In other words, we begin to grow in the virtues, and that is the true sign of progress in the spiritual life. So what are the virtues that we are growing in? The seven capital virtues are the flip side of the seven deadly sins. Those sins are lust, gluttony, greed, sloth, envy, anger, and pride. Consequently, the capital virtues are chastity, temperance, charity, diligence, kindness, patience, and humility. You can see how these virtues allow us to love our neighbour better. When we experience God in prayer, we come to realise that we are loved. In fact, we are beloved. We come to the knowledge that we are precious to God, that He values us, wants to be with us, and delights in us. That knowledge calls out of us a response of love towards God. And when we consider how much God loves us, we also begin to see ourselves in a different way. We no longer partner with the enemy to criticize and do ourselves down. We slowly begin to love ourselves because we are loved by God. And that revelation, in turn, opens us to the possibility of loving those whom the Lord has given us to love. Remember that second commandment that Jesus mentions in that passage from Matthew's Gospel is to love our neighbour as ourselves. So let's go back to that list of virtues and examine in what ways they allow us the possibility of developing more fully in the Christian life. Through the virtue of chastity, we no longer see our neighbour through a restricted lens of sexuality. We begin to see that each unique human being is a whole person. Temperance is an antidote to gluttony. In other words, it's the ability to rein in our passions and desires in the area of food and drink, and it provides an excellent training ground for resisting other temptations to sin. We become used to not satisfying every craving, and that in turn develops in us the strength to combat the enticements of the enemy. The virtue of charity, as described by the Catechism of the Catholic Church, is the theological virtue by which we love God above all things for his own sake, and our neighbour as ourselves for the love of God. A theological virtue is one that we can't simply drum up ourselves, no matter how hard we try. Instead, the gift of charity or love is a free gift from God that we should nurture. Diligence allows us to resist the temptation to give up on our spiritual life. There are many temptations to drift away from our commitment to daily prayer. Through diligence, we keep on going, even when we seem to be getting nothing in prayer, and even when prayer seems dry and fruitless. The virtue of kindness is a type of behaviour that is marked by acts of generosity, consideration, rendering assistance or concern for others, without expecting praise or reward in return. It especially gives us the ability to anticipate someone else's needs and supply them. Patience is an antidote to anger. Allows us not to get upset or respond with anger or irritation when we seem to be losing control of our situation. Although in theory there is such a thing as righteous anger, anger very rarely brings about a solution to a problem. Patience encourages us to be long-suffering in the face of personal injury or apparent injustice. And lastly, humility is the virtue by which we view ourselves with sober judgment, refuse the urge to self-promotion, and resist the temptation to seek reward for our good deeds. In a sense, if we really believed the truth about God's love for us, we would find that there would be no need to seek praise and approval from our fellow human beings. God would be enough for us. As I mentioned earlier, it is a good idea to journal about experiences of the spiritual life and also what growth we see in ourselves over time. Let's pray. Lord, I know that you love me and that my life is in your hands. Help me to grow in the virtues. Help me to obey the two most important commandments of loving you and my neighbour. Give me the grace to remain steadfast in my decision to pray daily to you, so that I might have the strength to progress along the path to holiness and eventually reach heaven, where I will live with you forever. Amen.